Because he did say it will be joyful unto him. But I know it's not joyful unto the people. But I tell you. You know, we've got a whole lot to thank the Lord for. We really do. You know, this is 2014, and we're already past halfway through it. And you forgot the offering, didn't you? Oh, man. Bill, I didn't excite you that much, did I? Oh, me. Well, like I was saying, you know, we got so much to thank the Lord for. We really do. Does anyone have a prayer request this morning? We need to remember, we need to pray for one another. We really do. Is anyone? All right. Sister Brenda that's sitting back there, she may have to have some back surgery, so y'all pray for her. And I know the Lord can touch her, we know that. We know that we serve the great physician, the great surgeon, and the ones that's here that we have here on earth is just our assistants. They just assist the Lord and what the Lord has given them to where they can go and perform what they got to do, the medicine and the surgery and everything and all that. But we know where it all comes from. It comes from above. And we know it. We should never forget about that. That he is still the great physician. He is the greatest of all. And it's nothing that we can ever do to repay him. I would love to know how I could even start about repaying him. Repaying him back some things, but I can't. So I'm just going to continue on like I'm going. I'm going to continue on doing what he's asked me to do. And y'all just pray for me that I'll stay in God's word and I'll stay true to him. And not only just me, but all of us, that we'll all stay true to him. But because, you know, we're living in that day and time now that we really don't know who we can trust anymore. You know, we can't, you know, one time we could depend on, I mean, you know, not say depend, I don't reckon that's as well as the only word I know to come up with right now, the government to help the people that need help, that can't help themselves. But now they won't even do that. And it's a shame, it really is. But I think what we need to start doing as a church body, not just this church body, but all Christians, that we need to start praying ahead of time before elections come around, that we'll know exactly what God wants us to do. We need to take out and search out the scripture and say, God, what about this? Can I go along with them on this? Will they go along with you? And we don't know if they can or not no more. We don't know if they want to. But I know one thing. We're going to have to give an account for every vote that we've ever cast. I'm going to have to give a vote for give an account of every vote I've ever cast. I mean, before I was saved and since I've been saved, I'm going to have to give an account for it. But that's not the message this morning. But if you will, turn to the book of John, chapter 11. Chapter 11 in the book of John. John chapter 11. We got a Scofield Bible, that's 11:30. And we're gonna be starting with verse 38. And we're gonna probably go down to maybe 44. John chapter 11 and verse 38. It says, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Say I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heareth me also, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. This morning, we've just read about where Mary and Martha's brother had been taken and had been taken to the grave and had been put in the grave like unto Jesus Christ. He was bound like Jesus was bound, wrapped in linen, and he had a napkin upon his face where they tucked it in under the scar, under the linen clothes, the wrappings and everything. They tucked it in there. But Mary and Martha both had sent for Jesus Christ to come because when they had sent for him, he was sick. And they knew he was close to his death. And it says up in verse 34, it says, And said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. In verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus Christ, he was on his way. He got the message. And he was on his way. He was on his way to the grave. He was on the way to see Mary. And what they had wanted him there for, which God the Father had already revealed unto Jesus what was going on there. Because see, Jesus was God-man. He was still as much God as he always has been. And he was as much man has always been. But it was God-man, and he knew what was about to take place. But he could not go until the Father sent him. He could not go until the Father okayed it. Because there's nothing that you'll see in Scripture from Genesis all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, where if Jesus went and done anything, that he had to get permission from the Father before he even done anything. Because he always came back to the Father and he says, Father, that thy will be done. And what he's saying is that, Father, now I'm asking for your permission. You have to grant me for permission to do this. And if God the Father didn't grant him permission to do it, he would not do it. That's just like today. I believe that God has to grant us permission to do what he wants us to do as individuals in the life, in the time that we're living in. If we go out and visit someone, we must go to God the Father and ask him, will he give us permission to go and see that individual? And if God the Father gives us permission to go and see them, then God the Father is going to also speak to them before we get there. That's the reason I always tell somebody, and I don't mean it to be harsh or nothing, but I've had people in the past come up and say, well, preacher, I got a neighbor. They don't go to church, and I just don't know and everything, and I've been praying for them to get in church and everything, but would you mind going by there and seeing them? And I always come back and ask them, I say, have you been? And if they say no, they haven't been, then it's no need in me going. There's no need in me going because, see, God has already pressed it upon that individual to go see them. And when God presses it upon an individual to go see someone, that individual needs to go and ask God to give them the very words that he wants us to say to them. And when they get there, then the Father would already been speaking to them. And when we may have been there before, and we may have got a cold shoulder. They wouldn't speak to us or didn't want to talk to anything about church, anything like that. But see, if we do it God's way, and we do it the way God commands it for us to do, that if he speaks to us, don't send someone else. That's just like me going out here getting a job. That's just like me going out here at Home Depot and getting a job at Home Depot. And yeah, I got the job. But then I don't go to work that day. I go to work the next day. And I come home and I don't want to go to work in the morning. I'm going to call somebody to tell them to go to my place. And that's food change. It's the same way. It's the same principle. But we must realize that we have to do our part also. And I know that y'all have been taught it. I know that you've heard it in the past, that the pastor cannot do it all. The preacher cannot do it all. But the preacher is supposed to do his part. Because when it comes right down to the point, he is a member of the church first. So he's supposed to do what he's asked the members to do, and if he's not willing to do what he's asked the members to do, then he ain't much of a pastor the way I look at it. Because why would I want to ask you to do something, but yet I'm too good for it to be done? No, I'm supposed to do it just like you are. But yet, I still got to take time out in prayer, and I've got to take time out and study and seek God's will for the message. But we need for people to realize that we're still bound by our past. We are. We're still bound by our past. How do you know we're bound by your past? I can tell you a reason of what, how I know I'm bound by my past. Because I'll allow my past to come up and hinder me from doing something for the Lord. That's not right. So in other words, my past is hindering me in doing something. It's hindering me from receiving God's blessings. But Mary right here, she got to the point, I believe, that when she sent off for Jesus and sent him message or letter or whatever, for him to hurry back and come to see her brother. Because she didn't want him to die. Just like I don't want my wife to die. I don't want any of my brothers to die. I don't want my mother. We don't want no people that's or close to us, or kin, or anything. We don't want them to die. Mary didn't either. But she'd been praying. No doubt she was begging God, when is he coming? When is the Master coming? When is the Messiah coming? When is the Lord Jesus? When is he going to show up? But he finally showed up 4 days later. And what he done, he came and he didn't go right straight to the grave. He went to where Mary was. I don't know if she was at the grave or at home or where. But when he got to her, I feel like he asked her, he says, you're in need of me, right? Yeah. I needed you earlier. I needed you 4 and 5 days ago because my brother was sick. Couldn't nobody help him but you. Now you here, you are 4 days late. He's been in a grave for 4 days. She says, he stinketh by now. His body is decaying by now. She said, take me to him. You know, I wondered why, a whole lot of times, why which we know the Lord Jesus, he knows everything. He knows our past. He knows our present. He also knows our future. But in saying all of that, he stood outside of the tomb. And what did he say? In verse 43, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Why did he say just Lazarus? Why didn't he just say, well, come forth? Hey, if it had said come forth, hey, I mean, thousands of people would have come forth. But it said he wanted one particular individual to come forth, and that was Lazarus. That's the reason God speaks to our hearts about going and visit somebody. He speaks to an individual's heart. He don't speak to everybody about the same individual. He spoke to the whole church about one particular individual to go and visit or call or someone like that. But he will speak to us individually. And why does he do that? Is because he may speak to me about someone that I need to go visit, maybe in a hospital, or maybe somebody else that is not in church or not safe. He may speak to me and go and visit them. But when he speaks to me about it, it would be foolish for me to ask you to go and visit them. Because the individuals that's there that you're going to visit, they don't know why you're there. They may not even know me. Well, see, God's already spoke to them. I believe that. I believe that with my heart. That God, when God speaks to an individual about going and seeing somebody or visiting somebody, God will speak to the individual. When he does, they don't have to worry about it. One is getting there to visit the other individual, and they get there, and one of them says, well, what are you here for? No. You're preaching. You don't remember that it's taking time. When they open the door to us, when he says that, well, you're preaching. He opens the door. I said, well, I just want to come by here and let you know. I've been thinking about you. Been praying for you. Love for you to come and visit with you. And I'm not going to get in there and start pressing him, ask him, do you go to church and all that. I'm not going to go good all as that. Because if he in church, and if they're faithful to another church, God's not going to put their name on my heart. I'm not going to do it. Because as much as I don't like the prospect life, that's what it is, that's going and talking to somebody else and trying to get them out of another church and get them come here. No, that's not what we're here for. We are here to get people in church, whether they come here or whether they go somewhere else, but they need to get them a Bible-believing church. And when they get them a Bible-believing church, and when they follow the Lord, then everything is going to go just fine. But when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, Lazarus, come forth. Yeah, he came forth. He came forth. He was just like a mummy standing there. Still had the napkin over his face. Still wrapped up. Couldn't see his face. Couldn't see his eye. Couldn't see his lips or nothing. Just like a mummy. But I love the next verse. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Jesus was speaking to the people that was there with Jesus and with Martha and with his family there. And it was more than just Martha and Mary and Jesus and Lazarus there. It was other people there. Because it said them. Jesus saith unto them, loose him. Loose him. And let him go.
That's what we need to do. We need to pray today. We need to pray one for another. We need to pray for each other. That we say, hey, loose them. Loose them. We need to loose. We need to get loose from the Holy, from the devil. And we need to get bound with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be wrapped up in His love and with His power and His strength. But as long as we're bound, and when we don't think that we can do anything, we're bound with Satan. Because Satan's the one that does not want us to do anything. Because why? He's a liar, and he's the father of all lies. And he's the destroyer. Did you know that he has imps out here with his own people that wants to destroy each one of you? You realize they want to destroy the church? They do. Oh, they won't come out and say it. Well, yeah, that's what they want to do. Even the businesses out here, they want to destroy the church. Why? Then they won't have to worry about the employees and when they come to work and everything and have some may have a bad attitude toward the place of business because they're having to work on Sunday. Well, I ain't figured that out. How can one denomination get out of not working on our day of rest? And the other denomination has to work. It's no give and no take. I can remember up there where my wife used to work here. Same day of business up there. They had to start working some weekends. Had to start working some Saturdays. They said, well, no, I can't work Saturdays. I can work Sunday, but I can't work Saturday. They said, well, why? I'm a 7-day event. Did you think that they give them much of an argument about working? No, they didn't give them no argument. Why? I don't know why, but if the Christian, if they command for the Christian to work on Sunday, then it shouldn't be the same thing with the 7-day of the Adventist, the Muslim, everybody else. They should all go by the same rules, but they don't. And we call it. The Christians call it that. Because we put up with it. We wouldn't fight them for it years ago. But if we'd have went and fought them and stood out here trying to fight the government on this and that and everything else, and trying to get this passed and that passed, and trying to make sure we get certain senators up there and certain congressmen up there, which here back by 3 or 4, it's been about 4 or 5 months ago now, I had an individual in town. Then it loads. I was down at Lowe's one afternoon picking up something. And the individual down there that I knew, been knowing him for years, and lives in the city. He said, "Won't you go to the city council? We need some people down at the office." I said, "Well, I can't go to the city council." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Because I ain't got time to take classes." He said, "What kind of classes are you talking about?" I was like, "I'm going to have to learn how to lie and steal and cheat and do all that." I said, "When you get into politics, that's what you got to learn. You got to learn what they're doing for themselves and not for the people." And I said, I don't want to have no part of it.
And I said, "The government's not looking after the individuals. They're not looking after the people. that put them in office. They said, now I'm in office, I can do what I want to do. But right here, we go now, verse 45, it says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had said and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. They went about telling what Jesus had done. The local church today, in many churches, you will not hear many people come out of the church services and start bragging on what happened at the church. They won't start bragging on that. You know, God met with us today. The Holy Spirit met with us today. And we felt good. The Holy Spirit just come down and blessed people's heart. We've seen people come to the altar. I mean, if people today, if somebody comes up and if they come to the altar and, yeah, if they come up and if they get saved, they start praying. And the pastor can always start praying with them and everything. And then ask the pastor, say, I just don't think I'm saved. And then the pastor will take them and lead them through the plan of salvation, and then they'll get saved and everything. And then the pastor, he'll get up in front of the communion table, and the individual will get beside of him and everything. And a whole lot of times they'll ask them, say, you want to say something, man? And a whole lot of times at that time, you know, some of them will, then some of them won't, and there's no hardship or anything like that. But the thing about it is, we got people that are sitting back in their pews, and I've been in churches where I've stood up here and I've been preaching, and I see people come down, I see people get saved, and you look back out in the congregation, what's going on? No nothing. I mean, if you're church, if you're Christian, cannot get excited over somebody getting saved and robbing Satan from another one, something is wrong. Something is wrong. We need to let people know that, hey, yes, we're serving a God that can still save. We serve a God today that can still heal. We're still serving a God that still loves us. Still serving a God that wants to give us the very best we have. With the very best he sees for our life. And our very best, probably should do a thing. Because our very best is way out there. We don't amount to nothing. And what he blesses us is the will. And what she is on his feet. So he's going to back. He's always in a pocket. And a house to live in, Lord, that roof will be made. And we say, Lord, you know, I was really praying for you. You thought, did that call out like that? You got 145,000 miles down. I'm just on the 124 miles. You know how long it's going to last? As long as the Lord wants to last.
And when he gives out, well, the Lord knows when he gives out. If the Lord wants you to get, if he wants you to upgrade to a newer model, then you don't have to worry about it. He's going to provide somebody to come your way to help you with that. But we need to be loose from the world. We don't need to be wrapped up in the world. We don't need to be bound by what the world has. Because what the world has to offer, of all what the world can muster up and put ideas of where we can, it's at our fingertips. All the money, all the gold, all the silver and everything, and even all the vehicles and all the cars, and then you have a field out here with houses in, and you just have to put, all you have to do is go out there, just grab it. Just go out there and grab it, and it's yours. What's it going to do? What's that going to do for us? I believe if somebody come out here in the parking lot and started vehicles out here, and out here all the money and the gold out here and the silver, and then bring cars up here, brand new Cadillacs, brand new BMWs and Mercedes Benz and Rolls Royce, and bring them all up here, and Hondas and Fords and Chevrolets, bring them up here, and then got a row of houses out here, said, now you go out there. You pick in the house you want. Now you go across the road over there and you pick out your automobile. Any automobile you want. No defense of the dog, what it looks like or not. Any automobile you want. Then you can go in, you can pick out anything else you want. All the gold, diamonds, money, silver, cash, and everything. Says, all right, it's my take. You know what I believe? That if I stepped out, and if I walked out there and went up and picked that house out, we would come pick the automobile out of my choice, and when he got me some money, I filled the trunk of the car up with all the cash and everything. You know what they'd be doing? They'd be coming to the funeral home at night, looking over my body. I wouldn't be able to enjoy any of it. Why? Because God didn't want me to have it. If God don't want us to have it, we don't need it.
But we just need to be loose from the world. We need God. We needed God to allow His Son to step out there in glory and just give out a shout.
He says,
Faith Baptist Church. Faith Baptist Church. I'm speaking to you now. Listen. Are we listening? Are we? Eight people here tonight. Listen, this morning.
It's just body people. It's here this morning. We could all come down to the front. Get on the front pew or front of the altar or whatever. And if we will surrender our life unto God the Father. And say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. You're going to have to do it. help me where I can be a blessing to the community, where I can be a blessing to the other people in the church. We would come and we would come and we'd leave with that kind of attitude. I say within a month's time, you see things happening here. You say, something's going on. I just don't understand. That's happening. See, God wants to work. God wants to move. Got him tied down. We don't want him to move. I'm going to ask you this question in closing.
How many of you would really love to see the hand of God move in your life, in your family's life, and even the life of this church? How many? But you know, it takes effort on our part. I believe that God knows each one of us. I know God knows each one of our hearts. And two, I think God knows that all of y'all want the same thing for this church, for your life, and for your family's life. That's what He does. I'd love to see this church get on fire. I'd love to see this church start just growing. Not with just individuals just coming in and just members of other churches, but I'm talking about lost people coming in through the door and can't even stand it enough because the conviction would be so strong here that once they started down the aisle, find them a seat. That they could not even sit down until they made their way to the altar. God can do that. And I believe if we do that, I believe God not only going to bless the church and bless us individually, but He's going to see things happen in our family that we did not even see it coming. We didn't think it was impossible. But see, there's nothing impossible. It's nothing that God can't do. God can do all things. Little as much when God is in it. We got 8 people. And I know God wants to get in. I really do. You don't know how much I don't pray for this church. I'd love to see people get saved and get on fire for God. Because it's not going to be much longer. And if the Lord leads tonight, I've got a message tonight. If the Lord leads me tonight to preach it, this is going to bring us some things, maybe. You probably heard them in the past. It's probably been a long time since you heard them. And I've had that message on my heart for some years now. And Lord spoke to me this week about preaching it Sunday night. So y'all come back tonight. And as we close, everyone stand, all heads bowed and eyes closed. As Brother Bill comes. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the words that you've given me this morning. And Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that your word will not come back void. It's going to do what it intended for it to do. And our Lord, we just want to thank you for these people that was here this morning, each one of them. Lord Jesus, we ask God that you may bless them throughout this day, and Father, bring them back tonight. And we want to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
249,
just as I am. You want to come to the altar? You come on and come to the altar. We need to get embedded. We need to get on fire for God. We need to mean business. We need to mean business today. I believe that. So, all the people.